Thanks, everybody, for coming out tonight. We'll call the meeting to order. First thing on the agenda tonight is the election of officer. So we're going to have a chair, vote for chair and vote for vice chair. So just to go through the process, because some people may not have been here before when we've done this. So the first round of ballots is to nominate a person for the position of chair. And then I'll show everybody the box so they know nothing's in the ballot box. Read new name only each time it has been voted for. And then we remove the names of anyone that has not accepted a nomination. And if more than two names, remove the name of the person who has the least amount of votes and the vote again for the one of those two persons. And then we read each name only once. And then we go with that until we have the person selected. We have Emily. Your name was put in. What she says. Emily. We're not going to say it a second time. Dean. Brian. Brian. Keep track of how many we got there.
No, it doesn't happen yet.
Okay. Emily. Emily, Dean, Brian, and Brian. So three, right? So the three people we have are Brian, Deputy Chief Smicer, and Captain Bowers. You guys want your names to stay?
No, thank
you. No, thank you for you. Okay, so Dean, Brian?
Yeah.
You?
Yes.
Okay, so since they both backed out, I guess that puts you in as chair. Oh, do we have?
Dean Smicer. Martin Bell. Morgan Reinhardt. Allison Smith. Pam Hubley. Okay, so names that were noted, are you prepared to leave your name stand? So it was Dean Smicer, Martin Bell, Morgan Reinhardt, Allison Smith, and Pam Hewley.
No, respectfully removed.
Pam is out.
I would like to withdraw my name, please.
Okay, withdrawn. Shred those. So the remaining three are fine. Okay, so you've got Dean, Morgan, and Allison to pick from.
I'll take it around this time.
All right. What's wrong? Over there?
No.
Oh, here. There you go.
I think she had a whole whack of them.
Had them in my pocket.
She had a whole bunch. She had a whole whack of them over there. So keep them separate.
Yes. No, you can say it now.
Okay, I'm going to withdraw my name.
She's withdrawing her name.
Morgan and Dean.
You don't like me at all.
She's
sending
me on the plane.
She's the deciding factor over there.
I think if there hadn't been a council person,
right,
he would have been.
That's correct, yes.
I'll give you a leg, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Show the box, Chris.
Empty.
Well, that was a lock. That was a lock.
No, it wasn't a lock. Are you happy? I don't give you a box.
So who's
get it back.
And Dean. Morgan and Dean.
Ain't that the truth?
Oh, my. Sometimes good, though.
Oh, it's good, Chris.
There you go.
Okay. Morgan. Dean. So it is Morgan.
Motion to strike those.
Okay, yes, we need a motion to shred the legitimate information recorded there. It's been moved. To have a seconder? Martin? Okay. All in favor? All in favor? Against? Motion carried. Okay, the next item is the approval of the agenda that was circulated. Been moved. Seconded by Councilor Bell. Any questions on the motion? In hearing none, all those in favor signify by raising their right hand. Against? Motion carried. Approval of notes. They are attached. Looking for a motion to approve the notes that were circulated. Moved by Dean. Seconded. Patricia. Shoot. Any questions on the motion? All those in favor, signify by raising the right hand. Against, motion carried. Business arising from the minutes. 5.1 on page 2 is the, not a page 2 actually, it's the Cumberland governance issue, which was discussed at this particular meeting the last time we met here. And I'm thinking that page 2 is kind of talks about something similar here, but not the same thing, right? Page 2?
That's a little different.
Yes, code of conduct. Then I'm asking you to explain that then.
Okay.
So this was a discussion that we had at the last meeting, and it's been taken to a couple of different discussions with fire chiefs. So I guess the next step moving forward is how do we want to engage fire departments and fire services on moving forward with this, and how can we come up with a solution to help mitigate issues when a chief officer, say, for instance, has a problem, or a fire department can't deal with the problem because it's a fire chief or a chief officer, and how do we migrate through that issue so we don't completely do the same kind of thing that happened in another area. So I guess that's where we're at with this. And if we can have some discussion, or if you guys are, if you're all okay with the way it's been presented, or if you want to have another discussion around it, it's entirely up to you. Is that explained okay to everybody, or do you want a little bit more?
Any more discussion you want to have on it? It was certainly mentioned that Lunenburg Regional about code of conduct and the fact that that particular committee is in fact doing up its own, adopting from the firefighters, FSANS, I think it is.
So theirs came from the Canadian Fire Chiefs Association?
Canadian, okay.
Yeah.
So they're looking at adopting that particular document in that, but I mean subject to amendments when they get the discussion on the floor, right? So, but certainly it is, okay, Pam.
I'm a little lost. Are you asking if we want to make the code of conduct mandatory for fire members?
Well, I think what's
for fire service. Yes,
right,
I think
ultimately. Is there a question that you want answered? Or
well, I think Chris is actually, when he went through that document that's in here,
mm-hmm.
I think he's asking to see if there should be, if you got some opinions and some discussion on the article, so that you can start massaging it into something that would be something that this committee would be recommending out
right.
to the fire service.
That's what I understood that our council was asking for also. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Yes, Martin?
If Lunenburg Regional has this on their discussion table, and in good probability they will come up with their form of the conduct code, I would rather us adopt what they're adopting rather than parallel or do something differently. So I if it takes a month or two for them to come back with something, I would prefer to wait.
Thank you for those comments. The thing that I'm thinking maybe, and Chris, you're at the meeting, and the one that they're doing, though, may be more specific to a committee and the members of the committee, which in some ways does cover some of this, but may not, in fact, be exactly the same, right? Because whatever we do on the municipal side, it is my opinion, at least, I think, that this is going to become part of a tool that will be used to ensure that issues that are arising or would arise or should arise in a fire department would be dealt with through this process. And I think that the one that I've seen for LRFES is more concerned about the committee and its membership and how they act within some of that. So there may have to be some massaging to make it, in my opinion, that's from what I've heard. And I don't know if somebody else has an opinion on that.
I'm inclined to agree with Councillor Bell that we should let Lunenburg Regional take the lead on this. However, as a first step, perhaps we should get clarity on what Lunenburg Regional is actually working on to see if it lines up with, I think, what we're talking about here and what we talked about in our previous meeting, that we're looking at a code of conduct and an avenue for potential removal of a chief officer who violates that code of conduct. I don't know that Lunenburg Regional would have the ability to do that.
I don't think they are. The document that I've seen is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It does not do that.
But maybe we could get clarity from LRFES just to make sure that we're not working at cross purposes.
Okay.
I think the committee members' comments are excellent, that the Lunenburg Regional Group is the ideal group to develop what should be in the code. This committee has a question before you about governance. So when the incident happened in Cumberland, we had a quick look over it, and we identified, you know, there are some actions that could happen within a department that can not only have a reputational problem for fire departments. If it were to happen here, it would have an impact on the reputation of departments throughout the municipality, but there would also then be legal and insurance risks to the municipality, because we would be named in any suit that came forward. And the two particular areas that we noted, based on the example that we saw in Cumberland, was practices that departments have around who's driving your apparatus and what standards you have for them to be driving. And then the other one is around the conduct of a chief officer, because most departments do have processes in place. So if you're having an issue with a member or an officer, you can go through a disciplinary process. It can be more challenging with a chief. There is an annual election process, but we know that some of those positions are long held and the membership aren't comfortable with anything other than a voluntary stepping down from that person. And so we see there being the need for a discussion on governance from this committee on how you would like to address that. We do feel like as part of our registration policy, there should be some mechanisms that address both of those. But you do have some options around what those should be. And regardless of which approach you take, please, staff would strongly recommend you work in collaboration with Lunenburg Regional. So Chris has done some research, and we feel pretty comfortable that what the standard should be around the driver's licenses, but we want to have that discussion with the fire service. Around the code of conduct, we know there needs to be statements in there around attending to scenes while under the influence of drugs or alcohol, but the other content, we're very happy to have those collaborative discussions. The mechanism for how that code of conduct then translates to your registration policy is something that we can help support, but we need some direction from the committee and what you want.
So last year we had what was, in my opinion, a pretty effective working group where we combined Lunenburg Regional and this committee that focused on the training side of things. Given that pretty successful, in my opinion, framework, maybe we could look at doing that again here so that we're making sure the fire service through Lunenburg Regional is getting at the table, and we could perhaps use the framework that was developed by Cumberland County, maybe to sort of see if that's a good framework that we could implement, but have that as at least the baseline discussion, but draw from both groups. So that way we're kind of clear from the beginning that we're including the fire service and we're including, you know, the municipal side of things, since that worked pretty well last year. I don't know.
So you're hearing some comments, and are there any other? Yes, Councilor Bell.
I would like us to consider, when developing this, to have, at least in the MODL fire departments, a mechanism for making a report. I don't like to use the word whistleblower, but it can be very uncomfortable for someone to recognize a problem in a local department and then actually talking about it. And I think we have had examples before where there was questionable conduct. There needs to be a mechanism to report that, whether there's a form that can go to our fire services coordinator. It would be discreet. It would be private. And this only those individuals that needed to know would process to see whether it was accurate or not. But I think people may be reluctant to come forward if they see something inappropriate. If they felt that they were going to be penalized by their peers or their, you know, the other people that they need to work with. I would not like to see someone ruin their fire service career by doing what is right. And so if it's embezzlement of funds or it's operating under the influence of some type of product, or even if it's a human rights issue where you're belittling somebody at a lower rank than you or a different sex than you, it's conduct that affects people's lives, and it needs to be dealt with.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a good point. So in hearing all of that, we're really saying then that we would have to at least advertise for volunteers to come on a committee that would take that responsibility on to either separate first and then meet with us, or is it something, Emily, that you're interested in leading?
I mean, we've got a Lunenburg Regional meeting next week, I believe, so we can certainly bring it up as a discussion point and see if there's people who would be interested. We previously had the built-in training committee that was great to work with. I'm not sure if there would be the GOG committee, or maybe we just want to open it up and say we're looking for a few people to kind of consult on this.
I think you open it up.
Yeah.
And then if you don't get any, maybe move down to the GO, the group that works that policy, right? So
you're thinking like open up to everybody, or the executive, or?
I'm you know, you need three or four people to at least. Yes. You know, the training group was
mostly executive, a couple of training
people. Yeah, a couple of training, but it was still four or five people, right? So,
yeah, and there was a couple of us that crossed over, like myself,
yes,
Chris, Darren.
Yeah,
we're on both groups, so.
Yeah. Well, the best then is to obviously ask, and you know we'll find out if there is the desire of members to actually do that. And we can ask that. I mean, that meeting is both a regular meeting and the annual meeting. So I'm not, but I mean, we have an opportunity. We're on the agenda as to what items are coming from this committee to there. So certainly I will ensure that there's a report to reflect that, and they can have a handout and they can read it, and they can let probably Chris know, or if Emily, if you're taking the lead on it, are you taking the lead or?
I think they can let Chris know.
Okay.
Just to make sure I've understood, it sounds like you're discussing the concept of we'd sort of run a workshop.
Yes.
And you'd invite some volunteers from Lunenburg Regional to join this committee for a less, not a formal committee meeting, but an opportunity to, Chris and I can prepare material and you can look
and
at.
And workshops are better for that.
That
you can just have all kinds of discussion and it really, yeah.
So glad I've understood that. Is that of interest to the committee as a whole?
It appears the heads are nodding, so it appears that is the route to go. So we'll start with LRFES, and then we'll determine what.
And we're comfortable with both topics together. We don't need to try and establish two separate committees.
No.
Great. Sorry, is that fine with the rest of the committee as well?
Well, I think it is, and I may be wrong on it, but the code of conduct that LRFES is still, I think, focused. Certainly, it touches upon some of the things, but it's on the organization and representation of that organization and, in that light.
Okay.
And it does talk about, certain things that are part of the fire service. So they're, but we're looking at, and I think Councillor Bell made a good point on it, we're looking at a code of conduct and management of that code of conduct and ensuring that there's a way of ensuring that when things happen, things are dealt with, period. And then taking it further to the process of the registration, whatever else comes out of the thing, right? So, pardon me? Yeah, okay.
Like you say, the code of conduct is kind of like a generic thing for a generalized way of presenting fire service and the way we conduct ourselves with each other. So it's a code of conduct / code of ethics is kind of how I read the way they have it read. They haven't approved yet. They're still looking through it. But it sounds pretty much like they're going to move that way. The only thing different with it is if they approve it at the Lunenburg Regional meeting, it doesn't mean every individual fire department will adopt it as well. It's like a best practice kind of thing, same with like operating guidelines when they make them. They'll approve it at a meeting saying, yes, those are good guidelines, but it's not saying that every fire department has to follow that guideline as presented, and that's how they've been done in the past. So moving forward, maybe that's something they want to discuss more, but currently that's how the process kind of works as it stands. I just wanted to make that clarification so everybody knows kind of how it works.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. So are we all right to let us move on then with LRFES? We'll be requesting, making a report that we're looking for members, and we'll go from there. And we will report back to this committee. Okay. Well, I'm just looking around.
Do we need to make a motion?
Sorry, can we just repeat one more time what we're kind of coming to? It's a workshop with members from FL.
LR.
Yes. Sorry, I'm good.
Just think about the work first.
Yes. Okay, and us, this complete committee, to talk about the, and you said two elements.
Yep.
The driving standards.
Yep.
And the ability to.
A mandatory code of conduct with some kind of mechanism to address issues.
Okay.
And also mandatory driving standards for apparatus.
Okay. So we would do a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I'm unclear as to what would be the goal of that workshop.
Yep. That's a great question. So if to use the example of the training process, we used a workshop format to develop draft elements and options for a training strategy. So this would be developing draft options or a recommended option for how to implement a code of conduct that would apply to the fire departments in MODL and how to implement driving standards or standards for driver licensing, just like we've done for pump testing and for breathing apparatus.
Sorry, one more question.
Yep.
So where do those options go?
They come back to the formal meeting of this committee for review to ensure that it becomes part of the public minutes. And then, just like with the training strategy, we would again then have a more formal consultation with a wider group of volunteer fire service members before we would adopt it. And just for reference, when we adopted the pump testing standards and the breathing apparatus standards, there was we were engaged in discussions with the fire service to determine how do we bring this about without creating hardship for individual departments, particularly the smaller ones that might have financial issues. So some of the things that we did were looking at ways to make it financially easier. We built the pump testing facility in cooperation with the town of Bridgewater. There was a couple of years to get pump testing up and going before it became a mandatory component. So those would be some obvious things that we would be looking at to make sure that it was collaborative and wasn't creating undue hardship on any individual departments.
Yeah, and Chris did kind of talk about 5.11 with the pages 2 and 3 in this package, actually, kind of talks about the two areas, which is the code of conduct breached by officer, the driver, and the driver training. So it's just a continuation of those in a forum that's easy to talk about things, right? So get lots of ideas on the table. Any more questions on that? 5.1.1 and 5.1.2. Nope. Well, I always look to you because you do usually have something to say, right? As a resource, I understand.
Yeah, sure. No, I think that the workshop suggestion is a wonderful one.
Yes.
But I'm staff resource for the committee. I just want to make sure that the committee is able to make the decision.
And what came out of the training one was a really good example, though. Yeah. I mean, the product that came out of that put some order to things, and that's what we need to have so that we can start talking about it. So, all right. Insurance update.
So the insurance has changed over at May the 1st. It changed over at midnight or just shortly after. So that's where the new insurance has now taken place with fire service and the municipality both switched to Gallagher. And I think Intact is the actual underlying body. So most of the fire departments have all the paperwork in. I'm still waiting on a couple. So the insurance, the insurers being a little lenient and saying we'll give them a little bit more time. And I'll reach out to the ones on Monday. So I'm just waiting for another update from our insurer because he has some more coming in as we speak. They've been coming in this week, so they're continually sending them in. Some of them were a little bit tricky for them to fill out because they're kind of generic, some with commercial type based stuff. So some of them are trying to figure out how to actually answer some of the questions. So I said, Peter is the fellow with Gallagher. He's the guy that we should be asking the questions to. He's the expert. So most of them are having a couple little things to fill them out, but the forms are coming in. They are getting filled out, so it's moving forward that way. And then there's a couple more that they gave until the end of the month on with two other forms for like vulnerable persons and things like that. So there's two forms like that they have to fill out for like overnight things or being around vulnerable people. So those are two other forms that they're asked to be filled out. So they're working on those. And once that's all done, everybody should be on the mark for moving forward. So that's kind of where it is right now with the insurance.
Questions? Okay. I'm not hearing any. We can move on to new business. No, actually, LRFES. And I will just give a verbal update, and members that were at the meeting can add if I've missed anything. One of the important things that was briefly talked about was, because next week is the annual meeting, was we had Arthur Jensen from Hempford talk about, he's taken over committee GOG, I think that he looks after, and looking for members, and the chair was the vice chair, because the chair was away, And he made the point that, all of the committees will be looking for members, and I'm hoping that the annual meeting, that they're actually going to be able to set these committees up and have members and have a chair for each one, so that, I think that it can be more productive in, what we're trying to accomplish. It's kind of, it goes from year to year. You lose some people, and, you know, you've just got to get these committees in place. You've got to get members on those committees, and then they can start having their meetings so that you can ultimately get the things done, that the priorities that the organization really has. And, you know, that was discussed. And there was really not a lot of anything else, because we, the chair was not there, and we talked about that one in particular for the annual meeting. So that, so Dean, did I miss something? Yeah, yeah, which is,
yeah, that's neither here nor there.
No, not for this group.
No.
Nothing else?
I wasn't at that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. New business, 7.1 is on page 4 and 5 of the agenda package.
So that's just there mostly for information. It was a letter that was circulated. And we thought it would be good information just to pass on. So it's talking basically that the new Department of Emergency Management and Municipal Affairs, we're looking at doing a comprehensive governance review on the Fire Service of Nova Scotia, and that's also through the Fire Service Association of Nova Scotia. So they're hoping to be able to fully support firefighters on a lot of the different things they do and keep them protected. And some of the key areas they were looking at were stuff that they have listed there, like governance and operations and those types of things. So I'm not, I don't know how they're moving forward with this. They had a group formed or a committee formed a number of years ago before COVID that was looking at a lot of these different issues, and there was members from different agencies and FSANs that sat on that that talked about governance issues or issues with the fire service after they did that big PROMAX survey back in, I think it was 2021 or back that in that area. So, no, 20. It was like 4 or 5 years ago that they did this POMAX survey with all the fire services. And then they came up with all the areas that needed help and needed issues, needed maybe to be looked at or discussed. And then they formed this committee. So it hasn't really met that much over COVID. And I think they're starting to get back together again. And they used to issue like little technical bulletins saying that this is what was discussed or these are things they're looking at moving forward on. So we really haven't heard anything from that committee for a while. So this could be part of what they're trying to get back on track with doing that. And they do mention that the Nova Scotia Guard is in there and that they're not going to pull resources from any volunteer fire departments that respond in an area, so that if the National Guard gets called upon to go to Chester or Halifax, wherever, and they're not going to pull members from different areas of the fire service to delete or deplete their ability to respond. So that's kind of what it's, that's kind of what it really talks about, as far as I understand. If anybody has more information than that, they can share it.
I have a question. I understand if you don't have an answer. It says, so this letter was addressed to mayors, CAOs, and wardens, and it says, we strongly encourage municipalities to participate in the governance review and provide your valuable feedback. Have they given any details about what modality municipalities, which presumably would be a municipal committee like ours, is supposed to provide that feedback? Is it supposed to go to the ministers? Is it supposed to go to FSANs? Do we have any information on what type of feedback they're looking for? Have they sent out a questionnaire? Are they going to have any meetings?
I have no idea. Like I say, this is just something that's come out. I have no idea what their background, how they're planning on moving it forward. But usually they were always in the past working with fire services too. That's why FSAN's on here, because they're the voice to government for the fire service. So that all the directors in the different locations in the province, that represents all the different groups. So we have a representative on Lunenburg Regional that goes back to FSAN's with information from that group on what they'd like to take to government, and it's supposed to come back from FSAN's to our director to the fire service, like Lunenburg Regional or different regional groups, on how that works back and forth. So if the information isn't being shared or isn't being done correctly, that's the mechanism that is supposedly used to correct or deal with that. So that's about the only answer I have. Other than that, I don't know how the inner workings have been designed to move forward.
Yeah, so Emily, like the second paragraph, I mean, it says what it's the Fire Service Association of Nova Scotia conducting a comprehensive governance review. So they're actually doing it from what this says, but, you know, I would assume that they're going to be circulating requests for information. Yes, Dean.
From the FSANS conference here 2 weeks ago, it was brought up they're hiring a company that's going to do this whole thing, and it's going to go quick. They're hoping to have it started and finished before fall.
Oh. So really?
They're pushing it through this year.
Wow, that's fast.
Yeah, it's really going to move quick. Interesting. So that's what they were saying
at the meeting.
In Truro.
Okay.
So
thank you. Any further questions on that particular item? In hearing none, we'll move on to 7.2. Yes, you can.
Just around the Nova Scotia Guard point, I'm wondering, they're addressing a common concern. Is it a common concern locally that Nova Scotia Guard is in conflict with other volunteers?
I think when they originally brought the Nova Scotian Guard up and fire services were hearing it, they're thinking, well, they're going to pull all of our volunteers to go to that organization instead of doing volunteer fire service things. And I think they're just trying to clarify that the Nova Scotia Guard isn't responding to emergencies like first responders do. They're like helping to do some cleanup or, you know, delivery of food or those kind of things. That's my understanding of one of their main areas of responsibility. They're not going to be like doing emergency response like firefighters or EHS or anybody else in that capacity. And they don't want to pull people from those areas that respond in that capacity and make them inability to have their response or whatever. So that's my understanding of how it's geared up. And that's why I think that question came up, because in the early concept when they started talking with this, I know there was some fire departments and fire chiefs and other people that were concerned that it may pull the actual response away from fire departments or first responders that normally respond to issues, and they may not have that. So they wanted just to clarify that that's not going to happen. And that's my understanding of what they meant by that. Yeah. I could be wrong, but that was how I understood it.
We
that
did,
makes sense, actually.
We had a presentation on Nova Scotia Guard at the Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities. So, I just wonder if there needs to be more communication. Like, they address a common concern, but if there is still a concern out there, I'm just wondering about communication around it.
Certainly, I haven't heard anything at LRFES. There was never, not something that I wasn't at every meeting, but at most, and I've not heard anything from that. But I think Chris kind of touched on it when it first started. I even felt the same way that, you know, it's an impact on maybe the fire service. You're going to take your people, but that's not what the intent is. It's a separate group, additional volunteers that would help do many variety of things. All right. Then we'll move on to 7.2, which is the governance for Oakland and Clareland.
So as it states in here, all the areas in our municipality are covered either through an incorporated fire department, they're either incorporated through a private act of government legislation or through the Societies Act. And there were two communities that were brought forward, members that were concerned in their community, that they kind of fell through the cracks of governance because they don't have a fire department per se that they can talk to, and they don't have a body like a fire commission. So we have a couple areas that have fire commissions that don't have their own fire service. So they take their service from the Mahone Bay Fire District Fire Department. And then Oakland and Clearland also get their services provided by that, but they have no mechanism really to be able to work back and forth with the town of Mahone Bay on issues around taxes already. So they're kind of in that gray zone. So some residents brought a couple issues together that how can we rectify that and what can they do? So that's kind of what this is in discussion of, just to let everybody know that it's an issue there and that we were going to work on these other two larger issues first, but this was here so that we wouldn't forget about looking at it down the road. So that's kind of why it's here, just to let everybody know that there is a governance issue that we want to look at They're still getting their service. They're still getting their provisions. Everything. They're still having all their response being looked after from fire and medical and all those things. So they are getting the response for the rates they pay. And that's kind of the information I have on that. Unless
Alex, you're on.
Chris did a great job of explaining that there's the gap in governance. So there's no ratepayers meetings held for residents in those communities. And at least one resident has brought it forward, and we agree there is a gap there. It's here at this committee because we've done some prioritization of projects at the council level. And in recommending different projects and scheduling to council, staff identified that, yes, we see that governance question for those two communities as a an issue that we should get to. However, the training strategy and the issues that have arisen as a result of the Cumberland issue have a broader impact on the fire service, and we'd like to proceed with those before we get to the governance question. And the local councillor for the area would like to see this addressed, and so just wanted to make sure that the Fire Services Committee was aware of this issue and agreed with staff's recommendation that the other two issues were of a higher priority and should be addressed first before we proceed to the governance question.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Could be something, though, as simple as a society setup that would include both communities and, you know, just for words of discussion.
Yeah, the resident who brought it forward had some interesting ideas as well. Around the possibility of working with the neighboring commission that is in a similar situation but actually has the commission structure.
Oh, okay.
Failing that, we can look at building extra things into a fire service agreement between the municipality and the town. There's definitely
there
options.
Are. There are. Yeah. Just thank you. Pardon me?
I say they're getting a good deal right now. You wouldn't like them to be like Cumberland County and kick the hornet's nest and then find out you got no fire service.
That's what I was saying, huh?
Yes. People like to have a voice, and you've obviously got someone to make an at least give an opinion about something if, you know, and it was done many, 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 many years ago by two councillors, actually, one for each of the areas, and they started, they negotiated with Tanimahome Bay, and there were some people in the community that wanted it to be, you know, because there was no service in those two communities, right? And it got started in the 70s.
You're speaking about the actual provision of fire protection by Mahone Bay.
Yeah, that's correct.
To those two communities.
That's right.
Yeah. And was there discussion at that time about ratepayers meeting?
Started
or?
People in those areas that lived there, they when there was a fire, they just called down to Mahone Bay. And then that became somewhat of a concern to Mahone Bay.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And then the councillors got, and it was two because it would have been two different districts at that time. And they got involved and they came to an agreement with the Town of Home Bay to provide and have an area rate of that. And in fact, they may have petitioned for an area rate with the ratepayers. I don't know. But the rate and amount was fixed by the Town of Mahone Bay.
Yes.
Even at that time.
Yep. And still is today.
And still is today, yeah. So it's a memory lane thing for me.
Yes, and the rate matches the rate for fire service in the commission, which is in a similar structure.
Yes. Which is Mayor Scovia you're referring to.
Yeah.
Yeah. The same with, they all have the same rate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is probably tied into the general fire tax rate in the town itself, excluding the hydrants, right?
So that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Good memory.
It is. Wow.
That was a walk back memory lane.
That's a walk back memory lane. The 70s. Can you imagine? But they were highlights at the time as well because, you know, that just was something that, you know, somebody wanted something and they needed something and it evolved.
And it's still working today.
And it's still working today.
Yeah.
So. Yes. Be careful what you do. You may get what you ask for. All right. So added items, there are none. In camera, we're not going. So a motion to adjourn. Is an order. Been moved. Seconded by Dean. Is that record time?